Frescando pra essa.
That's our intro. Hello everyone and welcome to Bioscope Praça, the show where two Praça talk movie news, reviews, shorts, and some cuck in between. My name is Ross.
And I'm Jody.
Welcome, welcome.
Welcome.
It's our second show of 2021. Yeah.
Second recording of 2021.
Ugh, this recording is so confusing.
They won't know which show it is.
Yo, we operate.
Feel the magic, man.
That is true. One day, maybe.
Nah, behind the scenes.
Yeah, behind the scenes, and I don't know. Maybe we'll invite people.
Our making of will be freak boring.
Oh, we cut boring. It's basically like you don't understand. We are actually quite boring people, and the whole planning of everything is super. Our meetings are super boring. We get straight to business.
Hashtag Excel.
Yeah. Hey, they didn't pay us. You can't fucking endorse it.
Drop them.
Yeah, don't endorse Microsoft Excel. They didn't give us any money. But we got a good show. Yeah, listen, Yacho.
Our news and shorts.
Let's get into the news.
Whoa.
This one is quite exciting.
Possibly
quite exciting.
Yeah.
Chris Evans will reportedly be returning as Captain America in at least one MCU project.
Yeah, I don't know if I like this Endgame ending.
I am happy with it. If he didn't return, I would be happy with it. But at the same time, it's more lekker, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, he is out of... I know everyone is like a big...
We were Team Cap.
We were Team Cap, yeah. But I know that everyone's like, Robert Downey is the best casting ever by the MCU.
Yeah.
As Iron Man. He embodies Tony and all of that, right?
But come on.
But Chris Evans is Cap.
Come on.
Like, we don't even think of him as Johnny Storm anymore. Yeah.
Like, he would probably, some scandal would come out and I would just forgive him.
A scandal did come out.
Yeah,
Dick
that's
pic.
Not really a scandal, is it? He was so innocent. He's not married. He's not like, you know what I mean?
What if you're sending it to ScarJo? Because, you know, they've, like, got this whole best friends in the whole wide world vibe.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they're fucking, though.
Isn't she married?
She is married.
She's so then it would be a scandal.
No, but they're not fucking, no. Even so, I would still probably forgive him because his Cap is so good. And I'm like, no, Cap, you know what? You know, just dust yourself off and keep fighting.
Yeah, keep fighting. Keep sending those erections.
That's America's penis.
Look, so I would love him to continue playing Cap, but I feel as though it was such a perfect bookend for him to have that ending, to have his happy ending in the series. My bad. Because look, I called it. I told Jenna, I think that's gonna be the ending for Cap, that he's going to be dancing with Peggy, because they've been building to that for how long already? It happens, and now you're like, oh wait, we're gonna actually bring him back somehow. And it might be old Cap, they said. It might be the old dude, or it might be that they dive into what he did when he went to go drop off the stones. Could be multiverse related.
Look, it's gonna definitely be multiverse related. That's the only way they can bring him back.
I think so too.
And he might not even be in the movie for long.
It's an appearance.
They didn't say that he's necessarily going to be the star.
I think they said it will be more akin to Tony Stark in Spider-Man. That
he
type
got
of thing.
$10 million for that.
I know.
And it was like 10 minutes of screen time.
And that's why Chris Evans has such a powerful negotiating point now, because he's out of contract, right? So he's not bound to his 10-fold contract anymore.
Nope.
This is all new. If they want him back, he can make them pay insane money to get him in there.
Yeah.
And then just name dropping him or putting him in a trailer.
He'll be worth it.
Get people coming to the movie.
That's the strength of Cap. This is a cool story.
That sounds like a horror movie.
It really does, eh? Imagine. So there's a film festival in Sweden called the Göteborg.
Nice.
I think it's good. I could be butchering it, and I apologize to
fellow
Swedes. It does sound Swedish, yeah.
Swedes? How many Swedes do you know?
No, I'm like one part Swede, I think.
Nice.
Like 1/8 of an 1/8 I don't know what fraction that is.
That's like an eighth of an eighth is a
64th. Mathematics. So the film festival is called the Quarterberg Film Festival. Mm. And they are inviting one fan to spend 7 whole days in an isolated lighthouse just watching movies.
Yeah, and in unrelated news, this manhunting website has also got a competition going where they like 5 hunters can win a trip to an island to go
kill a human being.
To go and kill one human being who thinks he's going to a film festival. But doesn't this sound like a movie?
No, this is definitely a movie. I think they're going to... There's cameras all over that island.
This is like the plot of... I still know what you did last summer.
Yeah.
That competition that makes no sense whatsoever. And then you give the wrong answer and you win anyway.
They're going to film it like Tropic Thunder where they have cameras throughout the jungle or the island and just like let things happen.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cock.
No script whatsoever. It sounds amazing though. If for
I don't know. Is there food? Is there water?
Everything. It says there's a comfy bed. There's food. Everything is catered for. There's apparently one other person on the island, but you guys are so far apart.
It's Willem Dafoe from the lighthouse.
You stole your beans.
Yo, imagine that Willem Dafoe just sticks out in his fucking sailor's gear. Oh, that would be cuck.
That would be amazing. So they are.
This is
dope. You and one other person.
Yeah.
And you are supposed to be so far apart that you won't actually ever interact with each other.
I love that. Around. I hate interacting with people.
Imagine the world ends while those two people are on that island.
Yeah. It's like those people that took a digital break and they went to like a cabin in the forest and they came out and like, what's COVID?
Yo. Oh.
But yeah, I would dig that. 7 days, yo. I think I have enough leave.
Yeah, man. It's a detox of note. But then you have to watch festival films.
That is the thing. Like, not all festival films are good.
No.
And sometimes you'll probably have to sit through, like, some arty fucking 3 hours.
They give standing ovations to shit you don't understand.
Yeah, like this bra, like, foaming an egg being cooked for like a solid 15 minutes, you know? It's like, cuck like that. I'm not about that life.
Uh-uh.
But I would definitely like to win that.
Yeah. Go and enter the competition, guys. And if you win, tell us what it's like.
Yeah, I would like that.
Yeah.
Are you allowed your cell phone and stuff?
I don't know. I don't think islands have signals.
If you can like all islands?
Yeah, like in general.
And why is like in the dark?
The UK.
The Malcolm and Marie trailer dropped. This is the movie that was filmed during lockdown that nobody knew about until like all of a sudden they announced it. It stars John David Washington and Zendaya.
Yeah.
And it just looks like it's just the two of them.
It's the two of them. Apparently the film takes place over the course of an evening and explores their relationship. Something triggers like a really difficult conversation between the two of them. And they discuss all aspects of their relationship, where they're at, where they're going.
Yeah.
Film is already...
Those are important conversations within a relationship.
Yeah, and they tend to take like... I'm not speaking from experience.
No, not at all. My relationship is amazing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I am intrigued by this.
I am too, just because it's one of the first films that was actually made during COVID. When they did it, it was at the height of like... You know, no one really knows what's going on with COVID, how infectious it is, how far it would go. But the concept of a film just with these two, very, very, like, these guys are burning hot right now. And she also recently did an interview where she speaks about being very picky about her roles. She apparently got offered quite a few.
No shit.
Turned everything down.
Obviously, she got offered quite a few. She is sot right now.
Yeah.
So it makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. There's another movie I saw called Lockdown with Chiwetel Ejiofor and Another Way.
Yeah, Another Way.
directed by Doug Liman, which is also like in lockdown. But that's more, they do leave the house.
Yeah. Isn't there like a heist or something?
Yeah,
that
so it's not as contained as this one. I think this one was more in... Like literally only the crew and the stars were there.
Yeah, this one sounds almost like a play. Yeah. Like something that you would do on stage.
Which makes me concerned a little bit. Because no, you know that's not my bag, but I do think that But just based on the trailer, I would really enjoy this.
So the other thing that came up with this film is, like, apparently the age gap is noticeable to some people. Mm. John David Washington being 36 and Zendaya 24.
Age ain't nothing but a number.
Yeah, R. Kelly's
motto. We're my R. Kelly fans right now.
Yo, don't quote R. Kelly.
No, yeah, fuck that guy. So... the thing is, what is it, 12 years?
It's 12 years. And
but it's she's 25.
Yeah, so
she's a woman. I mean, he was quoted as saying, look, he saw it as she's a woman. Mm. And technically, she's been acting way longer than him. So he was learning from her.
Exactly.
He's only been acting for like 7 years.
Yeah, exactly. I heard the same thing about him learning from her on set.
Exactly. And then Paul Bettany and Elizabeth.
Mm.
Elizabeth Olsen. That's an 18-year gap.
Yeah.
Between the two of them.
And people haven't mentioned that.
No, you know why? Because they're white. They're always trying to keep a black man down.
Yeah, I found this complaint to be totally stupid.
No, it's fucking stupid. She is of legal age to do anything she wants. And they're both consenting adults. And also, it's a movie, guys.
JDW doesn't even look that old.
No, he doesn't. You know why? Because black don't crack.
Don't crack, man. Don't crack.
That's a fucking legit thing.
I mean, look at his dad.
I really wish I had more melanin. Mm-hmm. Just to like...
crack.
I'm gonna look like my uncle.
Yeah, you look pasty old.
Disney, Marvel bought Fox,
mm-hmm.
and Fox, they owned X-Men, which in turn owned Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
So now, after that purchase and you know the fusion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, DBZ fusion.
Fusion. So it has been officially announced that Deadpool is joining the MCU and it will still be an R-rated film.
Yes. And you weren't that surprised by this.
I was not surprised by this.
I had some concern that they were not going to do it. Because, I mean...
made too much money.
PG-13 is the MCU's wheelhouse. You can go watch with your parents. You can get all that beautiful kiddie money coming through there.
Merchandise, all the toys.
The merchandise and stuff, right? So I didn't take it as a given that they'd be able to... I thought there would have to be some type of compromise. Either Deadpool is going to be brought more in line with how the MCU currently is, or, like what's happened here, the MCU seems to be going the other direction and just leaving Deadpool as is.
Like, I knew they were going to do this. Deadpool just made too much money. Deadpool 1 and 2 made too much money.
And Ryan Reynolds is just too good as Deadpool.
He's too good. And you can't have Deadpool without cussing and violence. The movies, I mean.
Yeah.
Because that's what they established. So it's going to be fun when they incorporate him in other movies. Mm. Other PG-13. Other PG-13 movies, because he won't be able to swear. And I think that's going to be...
that's going to be jokes.
Even better, yeah.
That'll be jokes. I think you'll probably like introduce it by saying, I can't fucking swear anymore or something. Just
this pitch on TikTok. Yes, I am on TikTok. I don't post. I'm more of a lurker.
Mm.
But I saw this theory on TikTok. Not a theory. It was a pitch. And it's like, it was a cold open.
Mm.
And it's that moment when the Avengers in Endgame, when they're creating portals and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then Deadpool's chilling at home.
Mm.
And this tiny portal appears, and he like looks through it, and he sees all this entire battle going on in the Avengers fighting, and he's trying to stretch it, but he can't get in.
Yeah.
So now he can't get in, and the battle's over, and he's so upset that he decides to kill everyone.
That's an amazing Marvel comic book series.
Deadpool kills the Marvel universe. But then, even when he's trying to kill everyone, he's still only encountering supporting characters. So he'll only come across Ned from Spider-Man. He won't actually meet Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And that just infuriates him more.
That's genius.
As it goes on. Yeah, I mean,
And it's pretty cheap for Marvel because they get all the like, cheapy all the actors. Characters, who are
which
desperate.
They kind of did in X-Men.
Mm.
That was the in-joke. He was only dealing with Colossus and Negasonic Teenage Void.
And his mansion is really empty.
Like empty. It was quite funny. So I thought that was quite interesting.
That's a dope idea. And yeah. Look, for me, I'm not sure that they'll be able to do crossovers. And you and
they
I
will,
both
man.
Think,
they will definitely do crossovers.
I think they're good.
Spider-Man
to find
and
way.
Deadpool have the best relationship in the comics.
True.
It's always Spider-Man's trying to be the straight man. Mm. Usually he's the quippy guy, but yeah. Now you got Deadpool, who's a super wild
you can't
card.
Out-quip him.
Yeah, exactly. So now Spider-Man's just trying to keep his sanity and Deadpool's making everything.
He's given into the void already.
It's so good. Mortal Kombat. So the new images, there were images released from the film.
So good.
Yeah, it looks cool. Sub-Zero making ice. That's kind of what you want. Scorpion and them fighting. This what's that other guy? Jax. With the arms.
Jax's arms look so they much look better, dope, surprisingly,
yeah.
than Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
It's not that. It's not that.
Unplugged the
tinfoil. Tinfoil wrapped arms. It's actual like cyborg.
It looks like cyborg arms.
Yeah, it looks amazing. But something that I found quite interesting, they are introducing a new character.
Yes. The audience's proxy. Name? Yeah.
Something Cole.
Yeah.
And he's like a failed MMA fighter that stumbles into the Mortal Kombat world.
As one does.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a logical place for you to
go. Conor McGregor's fighting for our realm right now. So, yeah, I found that quite interesting that they're not like just telling a story from, you know, the characters that we know and love, but they're introducing someone new, which I think is kind of smart. You need, you know, if you're going to retell these stories and introduce those characters that you love, it's a nice way to have like a proxy, like you say.
Yeah. Look, the 90s film was... It had flaws. I'm not going to lie. It had flaws.
The main flaws of the 90s film was that...
No fatalities.
Yes. There was no blood. There was no guts.
I know, but they were going for the PG-13 audience, right?
They're not doing that now.
But what I will say is that they at least tried to be true to those characters.
They did.
As far as they could.
They did.
This new one, they are apparently totally committed to... being like true to the games and the characters, which is exciting.
Yeah.
And the images look really good.
Yeah, they look cool. I'm waiting for a trailer though.
Yeah. I like to see.
Images are nice.
I like to see things moving.
Yeah.
And then make a judgment.
Sec. It's time for a review.
All right. It's time for a review. And we are reviewing the DCEU's latest offering.
Yes.
Wonder Woman 1984. The year I was born.
AKA WW84.
Oh, okay. As the kids call it.
Yeah. So this one is starring Gal Gadot, obviously, as Wonder Woman. Mm. Chris Pine's making a return. We don't quite know how that happens, as Steve Trevor. Kristen Wiig joins the cast and Pedro Pascal as the villains. Directed by Patty Jenkins again, who directed obviously Wonder Woman and also Monster, which we love because it had Charlie's and it got Charlie's Oscar.
Yeah.
The synopsis for this one is that Diana Prince lives quietly among mortals in the vibrant, sleek 1980s, an era of excess driven by the pursuit of having it all. Though she's come into her full powers, it's a weird way of. Describing that.
Coming into a full part, they might as well say she's like a woman.
She's flowered. She maintains a low profile by curating ancient artifacts and only performing heroic acts incognito.
Oh my goodness.
But soon, Diana will have to muster all of her strength, wisdom, and courage as she finds herself squaring off against Maxwell Lord and the Cheetah, a villainess who possesses superhuman strength and agility.
Now,
I don't like the synopsis.
I was like, but even that, okay. I don't even,
we can come back to
so
that.
So we're going to do non-spoilers first?
Yeah.
Is that even possible?
No, man. I think, guys, if you haven't seen the film yet, there's going to, it's hard to do like a spoiler-free discussion on this.
Yeah. I mean, do you want to give your overall thoughts first? And then they can come back to it.
Yeah, let's do overall first.
So, what is your overall thoughts?
I loved the first Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
I think it was far and away my favorite DC film to date.
Yeah.
I think Gal Gadot, she convinced me that she is Wonder Woman in that movie.
Mm.
It had a brilliant cast. I loved Chris Pine as Steve Trevor.
Yeah.
Patty Jenkins was also a breath of fresh air as a director with a totally different perspective.
Yeah.
I think that the World War I setting was genius as well.
Yep.
This movie, they've definitely represented the 80s, I think. I think that the color palettes that they use are, it's bright, it's vibrant, and that's established right from the opening, the mascara scene, right through to the wardrobe and everything. It feels very 80s authentic. Mm. I feel like the excesses of the 80s is represented throughout. Issues that I have is with things like the story, decisions around character motivations.
Yeah, so the main problem, I think, is the introduction of the wishes. And
yeah.
So they introduce this stone that can grant wishes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the problem stems from. Mm. It's because they're not consistent with the rules around this thing.
Yes.
They're not consistent with basically what people wish for, how many wishes are going to, mm-hmm. we'll get into it, but like overall, I think that's generally where the story issues stem from.
Yes.
And I agree with you. It was also super disappointing. The 80s stuff was okay, but I really expected more just because I also loved the first one.
Yeah, I think that was the frustration, is that we came in with very high expectations.
That's the problem. When you make a good movie, okay, it's third act.
Yeah.
Disregard the third act from Wonder Woman. One. Mm. Wonder Woman with the number one.
Yes. I don't know where you put that. The long part
it's
of the
Wanda.
D.
Yeah, so it's Wonder Woman. If you want to get into spoilers, we can get into spoilers now, because I think that's the only way we're going to get to the nitty-gritty.
Yeah. So I think that another thing that hamstrings this movie quite a bit is the fact that they decided to go the prequel route again. And
yeah.
What would have been a logical choice for me, because our first viewing of Wonder Woman within the DCEU was in Batman vs. Superman, where she is not Wonder Woman anymore. She's really only Diana Prince at that point. And no one knows about Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Right? So that's our introduction to her.
Yeah.
And I would have been interested to see what pushed her to be that.
Yeah.
Instead, they've gone like an awkward gap back, like 40 years from present day, 30 odd years from when BVS came out.
Mm.
And what's it, like 20 years after the first movie? Or 40 years after the first movie?
Yeah, longer, yeah.
So a lot of the motivations in here, like the synopsis says, is around greed and you know, things related to the 80s, the period of excess. Like a good accessible movie for our viewers would have been something like Wall Street.
So
which was all about
the character
greed
was actually Maxwell Lord was kind of based on
Michael Douglas.
Yeah, Gordon Gekko. But not only Gordon Gekko. Mm. So he was modeled after Gordon Gekko and Lex Luthor from the original Superman movie.
The Gene Hackman version.
Yes.
Ah.
Who refused to shave his head.
Yes.
But Pascal also based his performance on Nicolas Cage.
Nice.
And that comes through, doesn't
it?
Yes,
it really does.
Because he chews the fuck out of the scene. And
yes.
I mean, his character is just overtly comical and animated. But anyway, we'll get into it. So the movie opens with a ninja warrior competition in Themyscira.
Yes.
That's like 10 minutes long.
Yeah, which doesn't really have that much
it
bearing
does nothing.
On the rest. And the ending of that's supposed to like yes. guide Diana's decision later, but
she basically, the lesson that she takes away from that as a young girl in that scene is don't cheat.
Yeah. Because her auntie galled her out.
Her auntie and her daddy galled her out.
Like, you're not going to win. You're not going to win.
That little girl actually did all her own stunts.
Yeah, I saw that. Because
the stunt doubles couldn't do it as well as
who do you could. Get as a stunt double for
I
a little girl?
I want to say
are they like professional
people?
8-year-olds running around?
I don't know. There's ways you film it where you take like small men and you shoot it in a certain way and they like look like children. But
yeah.
I don't know. So it opens with that. That's supposed to set the scene for like everything, but it kind of doesn't get paid off.
No, not at all.
Don't cheat. That lesson is never like referred.
I will
to
say this. I think it's the only way they could show Themyscira again, and they needed an excuse to
show it.
I quite like just seeing the place.
Ugh.
Like
they should have done it in a different way.
They should have found a different way. I agree, but I think that's why.
Yeah.
They decided to do it, and then like that's the thread that's supposed to you know in the end like make Diana make the right choice.
I mean,
I don't
it
think
was,
it worked.
It was like okay, there was music playing and there was like you know the Ninja Warrior stuff going on. It was kind of fun, but still, I think it was pointless.
Yeah.
So then we see Wonder Woman in the modern world in the 80s.
Did you like the mall scene?
I did. not. I thought what they were going. I understood what they were going for. That Superman, Richard Donner type, cheesy schmaltzy vibe.
Yeah.
But it would be one thing if you do it and then it's consistent throughout the movie. Mm. But it wasn't.
They don't carry on with that tone.
Yeah.
Do you know what it felt like to me? And I've told the fans before that Shazam is one of my biggest disappointments.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't like that movie.
So it felt kind of like that.
That opening scene felt like Shazam. It's like there's lots of winking at the camera and like, ooh, I'm holding this guy by his foot. Look at me.
And the guy's spinning around in the ring and she's like, ugh. Anyway.
I think they also expressly wanted to show us that she's only using a lasso now and not using a sword and a shield anymore, which is not really explained. I understand the motivations. Like, she's moving away from that type of violence. It's like a statement, I think.
That pisses me off as well, because the lasso is not used for the one thing that it's supposed to be
exactly
used for.
At
it's
any
the
point.
Truth.
Yeah,
it's called the lasso of truth.
It does reveal the truth to someone. It actually is used as like it plays a video.
It's not supposed to reveal the truth to you necessarily.
It makes you tell the truth.
She basically, you know, wraps this thing around you and asks you questions, and you can't help but reveal the truth.
Because
they never do that.
Because it's actually got many needles and a yells a lot of truth serum in it, and then when she whips it around you, she like presses the handle.
Wow, I think you're overthinking this. I think you're giving them too much credit.
That's what Christopher Nolan did. It's a grounded lesson.
Oh my god, yeah, that pissed me off already. Yeah. And I think you're right, the tone doesn't, it's not consistent.
It's not,
and it was super cheesy and it kind of threw me off. I didn't think they were going to introduce her like that.
I felt as though it's still like
compare that to the No Man's Land scene.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think this is where DC, it feels as though they are trying to show that we are so different from BVS and from Justice League. Mm. We're not dark anymore, guys. We're moving into bright, funny things. It falls flat because that's not what the character does.
Yeah.
And even the, like, there for me, if you compare that fight scene with what happens in the heist that she, in Wonder Woman, like how she defeats those people versus how she defeats these guys, it's chalk and cheese.
Yeah.
So I don't like it. I felt like it's a big step down.
100%. And then after that, we kind of discover that she is still, still
pining.
Heartbroken.
She's still pining for
she's
the
still
pine.
Chris pining. She's still heartbroken over Steve Trevor.
Yeah.
It's been so many years.
Yeah, but she loved him truly after
the three days together. Come on, dude. You are meeting so many people in your daily life. You
but she's not.
One little relationship.
But she's not really. Because remember
that. Oh, they established that she eats alone.
Yes.
Yeah, because she's a bitter old hag.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
No, it's stupid.
You look so beautiful, Kristen Wiig. How do you do that? Yeah. I felt that was quite...
It was so bad. Like, they didn't have to have Chris Pine in this movie.
They didn't, but I thought that he...
He's definitely a positive.
He really... That Steve Trevor character and the humor that he brings to it, the best humor they could think of is Fish Out of Water in the 1980s.
Mm.
I felt like you could have just leaned into Kristen Wiig because she's there and you could have done funny stuff
So that's
with her.
The thing. So now we find out Diana's still pining after Chris Pine.
Yeah.
She works at the Smithsonian, mm-hmm. and then we get introduced to Barbara Minerva, which is Kristen Wiig's character. Mm-hmm. She's basically Electro from Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah,
she's this.
Yeah,
she's so beautiful
without the weird teeth.
Yeah, I mean, she's so beautiful, but you know, she's a nerd because she wears glasses and she can't walk in heels,
and no one notices her.
Yeah, but also there's a scene where she drops her papers.
Mm.
And then these people just scoff at her and not...
Yeah.
That would not happen in
That's
the real
not
world.
How life works.
No. Even if they don't like you, you'll be like, shit, okay, I'll help you pick
up. At least one or two people would do it.
Yeah, it's so... And they do this constantly.
Mm.
They think the audience is so stupid that they'll be like, oh, look at this unrealistic
I feel sorry for...
It's forced and it's bullshit.
Yeah. I really like Kristen Wiig's portrayal. I think that was like a really poorly written character.
Yeah,
she still does it well.
She's misused
because that's right in her wheelhouse. You know, it's a similar thing to like the Ghostbusters you don't like, where she's like the weird one that doesn't.
Yeah,
put
it's
in
kind of the same character,
and she does it well, man. She's a really good actress, but I feel like she's wasted.
Yeah,
like she's really 100%
wasted. That role was almost offered to. It was offered to Emma Stone, but she turned it down.
I can see that, but
and Sarah Paulson wanted to have the role.
Yeah, I could see why.
I could see either of them in it.
But when the casting was announced, I was kind of like, WTF for Kristen Wiig doing the action scenes of the cheetah.
I don't know. She's quite physical. She dances.
Yeah, but it's like I can't see her doing.
I know,
the
but
action
you can
books.
Learn choreography. Even we, you and I, can do an action scene if we train enough.
No,
we can, Jody.
Have you seen my Unbliss?
It doesn't matter.
What would my power be?
Listen.
Oh, if, juggernaut.
No, if,
I just juggernaut.
If Puss Pants Liam Neeson can be an action star, we can fucking be an action star.
I haven't pissed myself in like 3 weeks.
Same can't be said for Liam Neeson. So after that, we get introduced to the Dreamstone.
Oh, do we get introduced to the stone first or Maxwell?
No, we get introduced. I don't know. Yeah,
the Dreamstone is almost the point of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The thing
so
that gets stolen.
We do get introduced to Maxwell. He's essentially a con man.
Yeah.
He's on TV. He's got these cheap ads where he's like selling. What's he selling? Fucking
a better life.
Oil.
It's a pyramid scheme.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like if you invest, then you get 10 other people to invest.
Yeah. He basically works for like, what's that fucking?
It's Herbalife.
Herbalife.
He works for Herbalife.
Here's another bicycle brasset. if your success in a company depends on how many people you get to work under you, it's a pyramid scheme.
It's a pyramid scheme, guys. It's gonna collapse at some point. Yeah.
So Maxwell Lord is a con man, and like we said, he's just chewing so much scenery.
I love Pedro.
Like, I do love Pedro.
Pedro's and he's a brilliant actor. I think what doesn't work for him in this is that he's
the only one doing it.
No, man, but his quiet charisma is normally something that he pulls off very well.
Yeah.
So in like in Game of Thrones, in The Mandalorian, he's not someone who is super loud, but he's got this, he's charismatic, but through his actions and not through his...
Like, I feel like he could have been more likable. They should have made him more likable.
It would
have
been easy to do.
Exactly. Con men are good at conning people.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be able to see through him at first.
Yeah.
Like, he should win you over in that first
moment. They do that reveal in like 10 minutes. And also, but Ross, don't you like him because his son, he's got a son?
Yeah, he's got
a dad who just wants to make his son proud. Don't you like him?
Yo, this is... Like, I saw this lady and then I was like, yo, this is one of the reasons why you don't work with children. Like, he's not very good.
No, but also it's like, really, what's the point of it? Because they don't establish that at all.
Yeah, I agree with you. He was kind of also used in the wrong way.
Mm. I think it's just poor decisions around the characters.
Poor decisions.
And it's also like they... Like you said, it's actually talking down to your audience when you make things so on the nose. Like,
man.
Oh, look there. He just wants to make his son proud. Minerva is so neglected.
The
ham-fistedness
is what gets me.
Yeah.
But, okay. So let's move along. Otherwise, we're going to fucking just keep talking about the same cuck. So they discover the stone. And unknowingly, Diana and Barbara make wishes.
Yeah.
Diana obviously wishes for Steve Trevor to return. And... Barbara wishes to be more like Diana.
Yeah.
She doesn't know that Diana's
That's
Wonder
such
Woman.
A stupid wish.
It's so fucking stupid. So because Diana's more confident and she dresses well and stuff. But I mean, just buy better clothes, man.
And I don't want to dive too deep because that's literally what she does.
Yeah.
So does the wish then take you so literally, eh? Even so, what if Wonder Woman was a serial killer? What if Wonder Woman was a serial killer? Would Minerva have just become a serial killer?
Yes.
Or would it not interpret it as Minerva wants to be what she sees Diana to be, which is a beautiful, confident woman?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It depends. I don't know.
Like that's full literal.
This is where the problem lies.
Your superpowers
because the
also
rules
smart.
Are never established with this throne.
Yeah.
So this is where the shit starts, and as we get into it, you'll see how it all unravels.
I thought the shit starts in the mosquito.
No, hey, brother man, you're not wrong. So you have Barbara, who's becoming more confident. And like you said, she's changing her clothes, wearing cheetah prints.
Everyone notices her right away.
Obvious foreshadowing. Yeah, everyone, because she's got better makeup.
The first foreshadowing is when she saw Diana wearing cheetah something, and she's like, ooh, that's hot.
Then you have Diana, who's like, oh, she thinks nothing of the wish at the time, but then she carries on and she's at this random party.
Yeah, which she just decides to go to, even though she doesn't go to anything.
And then this fucking random guy walks up to her and be like, this is Steve Trevor in another man's body.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, first question. How did he find her?
I don't know. I think it's implied that when he wakes up in the guy's body.
Did they have phone books in his original time?
No, but they had like images of her or something in the newspapers. Doesn't he like see that she's going to be at an event?
What are the chances? You wake up, strange man's house. Mm. You wake up in this guy's body, strange man. You don't know where you are. You don't know which fucking city you are.
Yeah.
Do you know how much investigation you have to do in order to just find out where you are and what your situation is?
Especially because there's no Jule.
Yeah.
There was no Jule.
No, there's no fucking... Stop saying Jule. People don't know. It's Google. Google. He's talking about Google.
Google in France.
So, I don't know how he finds her. Secondly, why not just make Steve Trevor appear?
I guess that they wanted it to be believable.
How
because
is that
apparently
believable?
The stone can only work with existing materials.
No, because the stone makes other things appear later in the movie.
Yes.
It makes no sense. Mm. If the stone makes things physically manifest that wasn't there before, so why not bring Steve Trevor back? What happened to that man's consciousness?
Yeah, that guy, they don't care, eh? For that whole period that he's possessed.
Does he have loved ones?
No, he was on his own. I think they just found a single man. How did the stone decide who?
Yeah, how did it decide? Who? It doesn't make sense.
So maybe the stone knew it had to be someone who'd be able to go to the event who would see. The stone thought it through.
The more you think about it, the less it makes sense.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
But again, Ross, because I want to find good stuff. Their dynamic, their dynamic is still brilliant.
Very good.
The fish out of water stuff with him. I mean, the scene that they showed in the trailer, which I think they should have showed, save for the movie, where he comes up to the bin with the modern art
funny.
Thing.
That's
funny. And he's like, you know, staring at her.
But then there's stupid things like the montage where he's fitting on
Arthur. She's all that. Yeah. Not she's all that, sorry. New guy.
Yeah. You know? Well, you can name a number of movies.
Yeah, but my favorite is Elijah Dushku going through various bikinis.
All right. I met her.
Eliza Dushku?
Yes.
Running on C-Point as
well. No, Abby also met her. So we were in high school and Eliza Dushku was on some sort of exchange thing.
Really?
Yeah. And so she had come to the school for some reason.
Wasn't that when she was still doing Buffy?
Yes. Right? Like she was fine. Like I knew her from Buffy. And then I was like, what? Mm. And this she's super short, by the way.
Yeah.
And she was at the school and I was like, oh my God. And then Abby, who was friends with another girl and her mother is an actress.
Mm.
So somehow they had ended up at a braai.
Uh-huh.
And Abby was like at the braai with Eliza Dushku.
Wow.
What the fuck?
Wow. That's just, wow.
God, I should have shot my shot.
You should have.
I mean, I would have missed totally, but I feel like I should have shot my shot.
You should have tried.
Because I was single at the time.
But very happily married now.
No, super happy. Yeah, fuck Eliza Dushku. Shit.
I don't need that shot.
Yeah. So anyway.
We digress.
Yeah, we did. I don't even know what the fuck we're talking about. Their chemistry. That's a positive. Yeah. Their chemistry is a positive. I do agree with you.
But the wardrobe, him going through all the outfits was just unnecessary.
Anyway, so Maxwell Lord gets hold of the Dreamstone.
Yeah.
He seduces Barbara, who's like smitten.
Because of obvious. She doesn't have friends.
She doesn't have friends. She's pathetic.
Mm.
And he takes advantage of that. Uh-huh. And he gets the Dreamstone. But instead of him wishing for something, he wishes to be the Dreamstone.
Yes.
So why doesn't it turn him to stone?
The Dreamstone had a choice, right?
Again, it's that question of like, how does the Dreamstone determine what you mean?
Because the Dreamstone was like, Keki, I can either make him the stone and we just lam you on this table, or even better, I go into him and we walk around. Walking around Trump's lamming on the table every day.
So he gains the ability to grant wishes.
Yeah.
I mean, people touch him and he like grants wishes.
Yeah. But all he does is get people to like inadvertently wish for what he wants.
Yeah. So you'll say like, do you wish for me to have, you know?
Wouldn't it be great if I could?
Would you wish for that? And then we're like, yeah, I do. And then boom.
Yeah.
The Dreamstone determines like your feeling on that wish. But if someone is just saying, yeah, I wish for that, you know, as a random statement, then they don't really mean it.
I feel like Robin Williams and Will Smith wouldn't have stood for this.
No, they would not have stood for this. I mean, they're much better genies.
Yeah, 100%. Than that.
Now he's the Dreamstone. And then you have Diana who's investigating it. And she realizes, oh shit, this is like some old magic god stuff.
Yeah.
Which kind of pissed me off because... Mm. when she said this is linked to a god, then I thought, oh shit, we're gonna see this god that it's linked to. We never see the god. Yeah. I thought it would turn out, you know, like Ares fucking with her in the first movie. This would be another god that she has to deal with. But we never see
like a Loki-esque type god, right? Because it's a god of mischief or something.
Kind of, because when you grant a wish, like Jody said, it takes something in return.
Yeah.
Which can be fucking ever number of things. So you have Barbara, who wishes to be more like Diana, but in doing that, she loses her humanity and her empathy and so on, and she becomes like a crazy psychopath.
Because Diana's a serial killer.
Yeah, definitely. And then Diana, who wished for her man meat back, she starts to lose her powers.
Yeah, but now, so like you said, it takes something, right?
Yeah.
But then Maxwell Lord, because he is the Dreamstone, gets to decide with every person what he takes.
Yes.
Right?
He gets to decide.
And this is where I think the story became too unfocused, because then we go off on the... Yeah.
It's such a conservative
It's very
word.
Unfocused. Because then we go off on the whole Maxwell Lord tangent of him following... They literally go every fucking step of that ladder for him to get...
So what is his... He wants to be the most powerful person in the world? The richest and most powerful?
And stoniest.
And stoniest, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The wish stoniest person in the world.
Are we talking about ginger beer?
Extra strength. Extra quetzal. Because then they have the whole thing of that, the camera, that like, oh, particles of whatever.
Oh, we're not there yet. Oh. So he goes to Egypt, which is also what I want to talk about. He goes to Egypt to like... talk to this prince oil baron guy and try to get all his oil reserves.
Yeah, because there he's still focused on his own business. Right?
Yeah, so he's
making his own business successful.
So he goes to this guy and like tricks him into giving him all his oil reserves, and he just wants his old land back, the land that's owed to him, and they make that bargain. But what I want to talk about is Barbara and Steve Trevor. They now on this journey to Egypt. They take a plane from the Smithsonian.
A jet.
A fully fueled jet. Which has enough fuel to fly to Egypt.
One way. Yeah. Easy.
They take a jet. And Steve Trevor, being a pilot from fucking World War II.
Very analog back then.
Instantly knows how to fly in modern 80s jet.
It's like riding a bike, bro.
It is not like riding a bike.
You can go from a penny farthing to the most modern mountain bike without any changes. So don't you get technical,
Nah, fucking world is technical because...
Jet's the same thing.
Just the amount of buttons alone that has increased.
I don't know what Mandrax has to do with any of this. Maybe that's where the plot
I should have fucking watched this movie on Mandrax.
Through that.
So they're flying this random jet. She can now turn the jet invisible.
Yeah.
This power that has never been brought up before.
She's done it once before with an apple or a cup or some shit.
Yeah, but we learned that in this movie, not in the fucking previous movie.
So that actually touches on something that I want to also discuss, which is the issue when you do any prequel is that what happens afterwards, we all know where it's going to. Right?
It's canon. You have to.
We know that in the first Batman, in Batman vs. Superman, Wonder Woman pitches up. She's badass. She's super strong. And she's a better fighter than Batman and Superman put together. She's amazing. What she cannot do is fly. What she cannot do is make shit invisible. These times it would have been useful to lasso with lightning and do shit.
Yeah.
And she doesn't do it in the later films.
Yeah.
So you can't introduce that shit in older films and just say like she does it.
You can't also just expect people not to refer to that.
Exactly.
Like we've seen the movie.
I know what comes. And like you said, it's comic accurate. She can fly in the comics.
Yeah, but this is where they have a problem, because this script was written by Patty Jenkins and Jeff Johns.
Yeah.
Jeff Johns is a comic book writer, a brilliant comic book writer. I don't think he's a good movie script writer.
No.
Because this story could have been told in the comic books with the Wishing Stone and all these things, because you have a great number of issues in order to tell your story.
It could have built over a while.
Now you only have 2.5 hours, which is way too long.
Way too long.
First of all, and you can't get that point across effectively. No. So now you want to include comic book accurate powers, but you're like, oh, how do we do this? Oh, I know. We'll just say this and this and this and this. It's fucking bullshit.
With no regard for what's actually been established.
She only learns to fly because Steve Trevor explains the basic principles of flying to her. And she's like...
So, and I guess that I guess we don't quite know then if... Is she flying or is she...
Falling with style.
Falling with style.
Anyway, no, we fucking, oh my God, let's stay on track.
Yeah.
So they now fly this invisible jet to Egypt. Mm. My main issue in Egypt is they just randomly come across him,
yeah,
leaving that prince.
Down that,
on the same
road. On that dirt road.
Like, no, they didn't track him down or whatever. They're just driving.
Bruh, it's Africa. They only have two roads.
Yeah. Then it leads into an action scene. Mm. And this is, the CGI and special effects are not the standard that it should be.
Yeah.
Especially with this budget. There's scenes where she's running, mm-hmm, and you can see it's fucking green screen. Mm. It looks so cheesy.
Yeah.
The wire work is not great. The set pieces are just not... That's the best set piece, in my opinion.
In the film.
The tank.
Yes.
Where they're fighting the tanks on the road. But still, it's of low quality. When she saves that kid, you can see it's a dummy. Also, that kid is hurt just from that
roll. I don't know how she could have, like... done that without breaking many bones in that child's body. Yeah,
sure. That's so disappointing, Jody. The CGI, especially. This is a superhero movie, man. Mm.
And again, I feel as though, because I'm going to compare it to the first Wonder Woman, it's such a step back. Yeah. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
I didn't check who was doing the fight choreography for this film, but did they use a different person from the first one? If not, if you had the same team, which was probably what's happened, how has it gone back so much?
Yeah.
Like, I don't get that.
Yeah.
I really don't get that.
So then we go back to Barbara's story, right? And she is, like I said, she's losing her empathy and her humanity, and she's starting to become more of a villain.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually they do realize that they figure out that you have to now sacrifice something and whatever, that, you know, the wish has a price, and she's not willing to renounce her wish because that's what they realize. The only way that you can return back to normal, get things back, is to renounce your wish. And Barbara's not having any of that. So she does everything she can to protect Maxwell, Lord, and Diana's just trying to also not renounce her wish because she wants to keep Steve Trevor.
Yes. And then foreshadowing from the beginning, I've got to do what's right.
Mm. It's cheating.
Yeah.
Ugh, it's not actually.
I cannot cheat.
No, it's bullshit. That's what it is. So then they decide, okay, I have to renounce my wish. Her and Steve Trevor say have this moment, which I felt fuck all for, by the way. It was like, so forced.
Again, compared with the amazing moment in the first Wonder Woman film, where he, like, what he does inspires her to become who she is, right? He sacrificed. This one was just...
Nah, I felt nothing. Mm. So she leaves him randomly somewhere, and she's, like, running off, and she's like, I renounce my wish. And he's like, oh, I love her. It's supposed to be this big moment. Uh-huh. And she jumps into the sky and learns to fly.
Yeah. She's run really fast before that.
Also. Yeah, she's run, like, super
down
fast.
Down a very busy road.
Again, terrible green screen.
Yeah.
And she jumps and she learns to fly sort of by basically understanding the basic principles
she
of flight.
She feels it.
Yeah.
You got to feel it.
She then flies home first to get the armor.
As one does. Just going to pop in the door.
She goes to get the armor, which has wings.
Yeah.
And then she flies back. She flies to this bunker where now we can get into the Maxwell Lord particle touching
thing. Yeah. I'm projecting myself to everyone. Everyone's making wishes. I'm just taking a bit of health.
Yeah, the technology is weird. So he basically goes to take power over the United States of America, talks to the president, and then he randomly discovers, sitting there in the Oval Office, this technology that can take over every broadcast, not only on television, but also computer screens.
Yeah.
Through particles.
Yeah.
That can technically touch people.
Yeah, man. I'm touching them. I'm with them.
Gross.
Yeah.
That's so invasive.
So theoretically, is it taking particles of you to them?
No, it's rubbing you with particles.
Okay.
So it's like these particles coming to you and then just frayfing you, like, without your consent. It was like, the 80s.
Sounds like a Me Too problem there, to be honest.
So he figures that out, and this technology is in this bunker, whatever, and Diana knows that. Tell me, I can't even remember how she knows that. So she flies to this bunker with this golden armor, where she encounters Barbara as Cheetah.
Who's had a second wish.
Has a second wish. So it is established earlier in the film that you can only have one wish
Yeah, that's his employee. So, so what he had been doing then was like literally getting random people to wish what he wants.
Yeah.
So he like leads you, and then he goes to a random employee and he's like, "Oh, I've already wished for something last week." Yeah.
So now Maxwell Lord and Barbara are on a plane because she's protecting him, and he's like, "What do you want?" And she's like, "I want to be an apex predator." Mm. And we don't see it happen, but apparently he made her an apex predator.
No, he says that now that I'm feeling generous, I'm going to give you two.
Oh, right.
He says something.
But then
like,
what? I don't understand.
He could have just given himself more than.
He could have given other people more than. Why make? Yeah. Did he make the rule for himself, or was that the rule of the stone?
No, I don't know.
All the rules go out the fucking window.
I don't care at that point. That's like, we need a logical way for her to become Cheetah.
Yeah, okay.
So, logical.
So in the comics, there's a number of ways that she becomes Cheetah in the comics. My favorite one is that it's a curse.
Uh-huh.
She comes across this artifact, and it's a curse of this god, the spirit of the hunt or whatever, and she becomes the Cheetah.
Which is what we thought was going to happen in this movie, because like,
you have the Smithsonian
artifacts.
You have the artifacts. Exactly. That's what I thought was going to happen, and they were going to start out as friends, and then that's...
But then you won't have genie powers.
Just tell that story. Why did they could have just told the story of Cheetah. Yeah. Like, they start out as friends. You know, friends become enemies. That formula works, bro.
Yeah.
And they could have focused on Cheetah, and that could have been the main villain. Like,
but so, on that point, this is why this movie, for one, is way too long, but also it feels like it meanders so much. Yo. Because we just now referenced, like, Minerva was having a whole thing, right? Yeah. Where it's like she there's an arc happening for her where she goes from being someone who is downtrodden and overlooked and is coming into her own and more powerful and things. Then they just don't focus on her for, like, the longest time. Then we decide...
Her arc is she learns to walk on heels.
Yeah. Then we decide... Maxi baby, sup man? Yeah. Gonna follow you all the way to the top of your wish ladder.
Yeah, you the main guy.
And then she just comes back again.
No, the only reason she's in the movie is so that Wonder Woman can fight.
Yeah.
That's it. Because that's what confused me also, because she's fighting Cheetah with this golden armor, and Cheetah's fucking beating the shit out of this
armor.
Yeah,
that armor was so whack. Pointless. Like,
then there's this moment that is supposed to be sort of the wings pop off the suit, and she stands
them.
There, and it's this, the music builds up, and it's supposed to be the super heroic moment. I felt fuck all, first of all, and it was so like out of play. Like, why did you just decide to be a better fighter?
But also,
was that the moment that you got your full powers?
But remember, the backstory of the suit in the movie is that it's the armor of all of the Themyscira women who had fought that battle.
Yeah,
so
Cheetah
it's like,
was,
and then she just
shreds.
Like, fuck this, I don't need it.
She lets the wings go.
I don't care about you dead people.
But that's what I'm saying. It felt so out of place because it didn't make sense.
Exactly.
Is that the moment that she fully got the powers back? Is that the moment she just decided to fight better? I don't understand. Because then she beats Cheetah after that.
And quite then, handedly. I mean,
yeah,
just
she
like,
shocks her, and then Cheetah goes to sleep.
Takes a catnap.
Yeah. Hey!
These puns write themselves.
I'm not a fucking cat person, by the way.
Me neither.
Also, Cheetah looks like shit.
Yeah.
And the fight scene is shit because it's so dimly lit. I understand you hide all manner of sins in terms of CGI if you shoot it in low.
You just darken it up.
Do it in low light. But this looked really bad.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
It was quite terrible. And I'd read something before the movie about how much better this, like, animation is than the Cats movie, which we're also going to cover at some point.
God.
But no, man. If they're saying this is better, then we've got to get in on that Cats action.
We've got to get in on that Cats action. Memory!
Yeah.
So then we go on to Maxwell Lord, who's the actual villain, and this is the actual climax of the movie.
Apparently.
So he's standing and he's
projecting
granting
himself.
Wishes. To everyone in the entire world.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Everyone's like, what could go wrong?
First of all, everyone doesn't speak English. Mm. So how do they even understand this man?
They know, they feel him. Also, translation is one of the stone's known powers. So he probably gave himself a second wish where he's like, make me understandable to everyone.
No, you can't do that. You don't. It wasn't established. So he's touching everybody, and everybody, instantly their wishes are coming through. This one guy says, I hope you drop dead. And she's like, I hope you go back to your country. This guy's immediately come to deport
you. Yeah.
And she starts to have a heart attack.
I was just like, this thing's like...
he's granting everyone wishes. Mm. Also, you have people who are wishing for their children to be healthy if they like on
theoretically
have cancer.
Yeah,
whatever.
They only showed us the exciting stuff.
Yeah, well, the stuff they wanted to show us. You will definitely have people wishing for world peace. Mm. You will definitely have people
all the Miss World contestants.
Yeah. I mean, you can't go into a Miss World without wanting world peace. I think that's in the that's the
Sandra
first question
Bullock
in the form.
Explain that in this congeniality.
All these factors that they haven't taken into account, but again, if you think about it, it makes less and less sense.
But now, is he also just taking good health at that point?
Yeah, because he's like that's his trade-off. Is he's taking all their health. Which he does start to change his physical appearance.
Yeah, his nose like bleeds and then he starts getting
then he starts
healthier.
Anyway. So this magical wind.
So it's a Benjamin Button vibe. So in the end he would have just been like a baby.
Well, Brad Pitt is a baby.
Yeah.
And while he's doing all this, this magical wind is around him and she can't get to him with a lasso of you can't even call it the lasso of truth. It's the lasso
And that's
of,
the only weapon she's got at this point.
It's the lasso of whatever the fuck you wanted to
the
be.
The lasso of deflecting bullets.
Yeah, the lasso of catching lightning.
Yeah. Or she just like spider persons it up.
And she can't get to him at first because of the wind, but then she can only get to him when he's not looking.
Yeah. Duh.
Well, like basically when he's not looking, she wraps it around his foot. Mm-hmm. And she starts giving this whole speech through the fucking lasso that is this gold aura on the television screen.
Tell the truth vibe.
No, it's all platitudes. It means nothing.
Yeah, but she injects him with truth.
What?
With stop the with syringes.
It doesn't. No, no, it's bullshit. It, or everything she says, that entire speech means nothing.
Yeah.
It's just like, guys, be a good person.
Yeah. Don't wish for shit. Renounce.
And she convinces the entire planet to renounce their wish.
Because she's Wonder Woman.
No, man. That's our first people.
Oh, yeah, no, this film does stuff
I might have to bleep that out. That's our first P-bomb. Oh, my word.
We've done so well.
He's into it so well, especially me. Like I said, you have people who will be wishing for them to save their children, to save, you know, to have a better life.
And they need to renounce
them. They will not. Oh, fuck, renounce them.
But she's asked them so nicely.
No, bullshit. And then also, Barbara somehow renounced her wish.
Did she?
She was back to normal at the end of it.
I can't even remember.
Yes. That. When after this whole thing, Barbara wakes up and she's her human form again, which means that she technically renounced. Did renounce her wish.
I didn't know that. Dude, I won't lie. It was hard after like after like 2 hours 20 to keep concentrating.
This movie is so fucking long for no reason. There's like scenes that is like, why is this in here?
Yeah. And they just like they follow them all the way through, right?
Yo, it's bad. And then Maxwell Lord also, because she convinces him to renounce his wish, and therefore everything kind of goes back to normal.
Don't forget, but his son also magically like,
no, his son randomly appears in out of the forest.
Yeah, he's like just there running because all the wishes have made bad people, and then the
and
bad
listen,
people are tracing
like
his
the
son.
World was so close to ending.
Yeah,
nuclear missiles were in the air.
Exactly.
And everybody has memory of this.
Which is, again...
Yes.
For me now, again, an issue with continuation. Because surely people would have put that in like
the day the world almost ended.
And Batman, being all world-savvy, you know, he's like... Yo, what the fuck happened on that day?
You guys remember in 1984 when we all
released our nuclear warheads.
Everyone almost died and there was this whole magical wish thing. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
Oh my word, it makes no sense. Just keep track of things. That's all.
Really?
There are literal video essays on the continuity of the MCU. Mm. Okay? Mm. You don't even have to go that deep with it. Mm. Just keep track of the main points and what has already been established.
But this is like just they are then just giving a fuck you to the.
I mean,
own
a multiverse
timelines.
Is one thing, but these people are those movies are in the same timeline. Yeah. They're in the same universe.
Exactly.
So fucking just pay attention.
Yeah, there's not that many movies. It's not like with Marvel where they're having to go through like 18 movies and figure out what's going on.
I know we started off saying this movie disappointed us, but I actually thought this was bullshit.
Yeah.
And I did not like any part of it. Yeah. I think Gal Gadot is a terrible actress.
It's Gadot.
Whatever. No, I will be respectful. I will say Gal Gadot.
That's Gadot.
She's not a good actress, and it shows. I think in the first film, she was way better.
Mm.
She had a twinkle in her eye. Mm. There was something there. Yeah. In this movie, it's gone.
Yeah, she was like this beacon of hope throughout. Yeah. The setting, her being so different to everyone else, it made her Wonder Woman for me. And then also, it showed her to be so different from the rest of the DCEU.
Yeah.
You know, from those characters.
Yeah.
In this film, it's, I don't know what they were going for.
No, it's terrible.
I really don't know. Like the character arcs, the character motivations, the point of everything, the fact that they continue.
If you think about it, she didn't actually grow as a character.
Mm.
She didn't learn anything. The only thing she realized was like, okay, maybe it's time to get over Steve Trevor.
Yeah.
But if you look at Batman v Superman, she's still not over Steve Trevor.
No, because that photo is then still there.
And yeah, still like, and she still has it all. And she tells Bruce like, oh, you don't know what the things
are.
So essentially, she's learned nothing.
Mm.
Also, how has she been fighting crime and not incognito all this time?
Yeah, I wanted to mention the performing heroic acts incognito.
No, man.
What about her is incognito? She doesn't have a mask.
A bright blue, white, and gold.
So the one thing I think that they'll say, because they never get pictures of her doing what she does.
Yeah.
And there's no internet.
Yeah.
Like, at least not like internet that's accessible to everyone. So I guess she's doing heroic things and people can't really talk to each other and put it up on like notice boards and shit that, hey, this is a superhero.
Yeah.
I guess that's what they're going for. But she's not being incognito.
No, she's not.
She's like winking at little girls, you know, like, hey, you can become like me.
Also.
And people are seeing her everywhere.
In Batman v Superman, does she still work at the Smithsonian?
She's working at a gallery. Because remember, Batman sends her the stuff when she's at work.
Because she doesn't age.
No. So
technically, you've been... If she is at the Smithsonian...
is you.
Yeah, she's been working at the same place for like fucking 30 years and she hasn't aged a day.
No, I would think... like, it's because she's using Shazam. She's the Shazam.
Okay, look, in all seriousness now... Their foot powder is the truth, man. Their foot powder is
but
amazing.
But clearly the anti-aging cream is as well.
Yeah, look, I don't need... I'm comfortable with aging, so maybe I don't need it. But definitely Shazen foot powder. That's a Ross recommendation.
She's back like the Herbalife and Shazen rep there.
Everybody knows one of those reps. You've got a Shazen person.
Yeah, and if one person does both, all the better.
Oh, wait, fang that foot powder. Jody, I am tired of talking about this movie now. It's done. I don't even have a rating system.
I don't have a rating system. I feel like bullshit quite encapsulated our feelings on this film.
And what upsets me more is that Patty Jenkins is a good director.
She really is. And I don't know if there's almost like anger at just what's happening within DC, but they have to find some cohesion somewhere.
Yeah, maybe get they like better scriptwriters also.
It would help.
Maybe Patty Jenkins shouldn't be involved.
Maybe Geoff Johns shouldn't be involved.
That's true.
He's the stuff that he's worked on so far all turned to shit.
Great.
Yeah. So sorry guys, I know that there's a lot of people who wanted this to be like a good film, and I've seen good reviews online. Like
remember leading up to the actual release, it was
fresh, certified fresh, and that's gone all the way down. Most of the sites that I go on to go and get our news and things still have very good reviews and ratings for this film. I don't agree with. I don't agree with any of them.
So Wonder Woman, I do not recommend it. Wonder Woman 1984, sorry.
Yeah.
I do not recommend it. And I'm sure Jody doesn't either.
Nope. Avoid.
So let's wait for Batman.
Let's wait for Black Widow.
No, I mean Black in the DCEU.
But like woman-led. Let's wait for Black Widow.
I think Black Widow is going to be way better. But anyway. That's it for the review. Jody, tell the fucking people where they can find
you. Yeah, that was cathartic.
Wait, do we have any shout-outs?
Do we have shout-outs for this week?
I didn't check.
I'll shout out our newest fan, Medstagram on Instagram.
Medstagram on Instagram.
Medstagram on Instagram. She's followed. She's doing all our episodes at the moment.
She tweeted about us.
She tweets about us even though we don't twat.
Appreciate it.
We appreciate it.
Tell people where they can find us.
Guys, if you disagree with us, I don't know why you would. If you disagree with us, or if you agree with us, go and comment on the post on Instagram. You can find us, Bicycle Brasser Podcast on Instagram. And we're going to keep plugging it. Don't care what you guys think about email. Hit us up on email at bicecobrasa@gmail.com.
Stay safe, everyone. Safe, Jody.
Safe, Russ.